Blog Talk Radio.
Good evening. Welcome to Tuesday's Night Sick Call, a Kenny Hodge Postal Podcast production hosted by Ken Hodge and Robert Frost. Let's have a conversation pertaining to injured employees.
No more sleeping in bed, no more back to thinking, time for thinking ahead.
Good evening and welcome to Tuesday Night Sick Call, hosted by Ken Hodge and Robert Frost. On the Tuesday Night Sick Call, just in case anyone's wondering where that name came from, if you have any military time at all, there's no need for me to answer that question. But if you don't, sick call is when every morning you get up as a soldier, and if you have an injury or illness or some type of reason that stops you from performing your duties, that's where you go. We call it the doctor when you're not in the military, but sick call is how you get there. So, listen, tonight I want to, first of all, how you doing tonight, Rob?
I'm doing pretty well, Ken. Thank you.
Tonight I want to talk to you, again, I want to just kind of round out some more conversation on the CA1 for COVID. And I want to also spend a little time with you on another form, a very important form in the genre of OWCP or Department of Labor forms. It's called a CA16. It's an authorization for examination and or treatment. But let's talk COVID CA1. The request for assistance, the request for information regarding, can I file a CA1 for COVID? My supervisor says I can't do it. The manager won't approve it. These questions continue to flood my inbox. And I don't know what else to do except continue telling people that you have to take a moment and go to the Department of Labor's website and read what they say. Now, I don't really want to sound very negative against postal management because that's already pretty much given. But they don't read this stuff. They don't know. You know how postal management finds out about your rights under OWCP? When you get hurt, they have to figure out what to do in the process. And who's ever telling them, well, that's a whole nother story. But the reason I expanded or embellished on that was postal management is still spending a lot of time discouraging employees from filing CA1 for COVID. I don't know any other way to say this to you except we are lucky as postal employees that the Department of Labor OPM, they provide guidance to the post office. Post office comes under the Department of Labor, which means we follow their rules and regulations. And if the Department of Labor is saying they're going to compensate you, why would you listen to any postal supervisor or manager when they tell you contrary? You see, we get so familiar or so comfortable just listening to what postal management says. And the funny part, most of you know it's wrong, but because you don't want to do the research yourself, a lot of times you become comfortable receiving that nonsense information from your supervisor just so you might have something to complain about later. I know that sounds pretty hard, but think about it for a minute.
Well, excuse me.
Go ahead, Rob.
There's something else to that I've run into a lot, not just with COVID, but with everything, any kind of injury. All right. Your supervisor and managers are supposed to know this. And you being a good employee, take their word for it. You don't realize you should be double checking. Always, when somebody tells you no, If it's related to an injury or an illness, always do your own research. That's how I got into this. Everybody kept telling me, no, I can't do this, I can't do that. And if I had listened to them, I wouldn't be drawing a schedule award right now. Okay? You have to check yourself or ask other people, like Kenny or me. All right? It's that simple. We will help you.
You have to, first of all, if you're injured, probably you're not at work right now. So after you take a day or two to kind of cool out and let your mind relax, you got to pick these forms up. You got to go online. You got to read them. You can call Department of Labor. I'm associated with a group of professionals, and I do mean professionals in the strongest sense of the word, federal injury centers. They've got videos. Chris Genie and the young man out of that covers Ohio, Tom, if you call, they're en route via email, telephone, but they're en route with information to help straighten out whatever it is that you have a problem with. These resources are available to your postal family, federal family. You have to take advantage of them. Now, if they've got on the federal injury site, federal injury centers on their site, they've got videos. Sit down, watch the video, understand what's going on. When you put these forms in the hands of someone who don't know or someone who's figuring it out while you're figuring it out, the chances are those forms are going to be returned to you. And then you're going to get agitated and frustrated. You know, real quick story about agitation and frustration. There's an employee in Columbus, Ohio, who was out for COVID, did her CA1, got a doctor's note, got an additional note from the doctor because the doctor requested more time. All this was submitted. Postal management has still not paid her money. So, but sometimes the employee want to give up, but I'm not going to allow that. We have to sometimes be persistent, very persistent, and tenacious, because if it's due to me, I shouldn't have to fight so hard for it, but I will, and you must, because if you don't, you're the loser on this. And when I say you're the loser, you're the family that won't have a check coming in every 2 weeks. The Department of Labor says I'll make one available, but you, through your inability to follow through, or your, I don't know what you want to call it, but you don't follow through on it, and you do a disservice to you and your family. It is available. Postal employees, federal employees, well, in particular, postal employees, before we go a little deeper, I want to say to you what I've said to you on many podcasts, many times. If you understood the rules and regulations to include your national agreement, if you understood those rules and regulations, you would have an awesome job. But you choose not to. We choose to turn our head. We choose to do a lot of things other than hold postal management responsible for 100% compliance in our contract and in this case, these OWCP forms. Now, one thing I love about this concept now is you don't have to even go to your supervisor. You don't have to do any of that. All you have to do, go to ecomp.dol.gov, and everything is done online. Now, in Columbus, they're smarter than most. Wait a minute, I've got to get that full laugh out. But in Columbus, they've gone to, after you submit your paperwork, they do additional follow-up. Now, again, I've got feelers out through Department of Labor. Is that actually legal? Because they understand now that they can no longer, they being Columbus management, they can no longer lose your forms. They can no longer forget to file your forms. And let me say, it's inexcusable, but I understand it. If they've got one supervisor doing nine areas, something's going to get missed in your OWCP forms. Do not translate into anything productive that they need to show whoever they send their reports to. So if something's going to get missed, it's going to be your OWCP forms. So you eliminate that. You go to the website, everything online, because let me tell you, they may forget or lose your form, but they're not going to forget or not respond to that email from the Department of Labor. As I've said to you, when you go to eComp, you fill it out online. You provide your supervisor's email address, and the Department of Labor emails that CA1 to that supervisor. So we just took away that 10, 15, 20 days that postal management sometimes takes to fill out that form. We took that away. And we took it away because now they have to answer directly to the Department of Labor. Now, there's a, when we talk about that CA1 for COVID, again, I could beat this horse to death. You got to read, you got to apply yourself, and make sure you don't suffer if you contract COVID while at work because your management team don't understand what's going on. We have a the other form that I want to talk to you about. This is probably one of the more powerful forms in the library of OWCP Department of Labor forms. And this form is called a CA-16, familiar with injury compensation. We also refer to this as a blank check. And the reason that is if you get injured at work, and we'll talk about how this form doesn't apply itself so much to COVID-19 or the variant. If you get injured at work, when management gives you that thick packet of all those injury forms, if you look through it, you're not going to see a CA-16. For some reason, management refuses to give that form to you. Now, let me tell you about the CA-16. The CA-16 is authorization for the hospital, the doctor, the whomever. It is authorization for them to provide service to you, knowing without a shadow of a doubt they are going to get paid. If you have the CA-16 form, you never get bills to your house. Now, a lot of cases, because of the way postal management mishandles the initial injury, hospital bills will come to your house, and eventually you'll turn them into the post office, and they will pay them. But sometimes your credit score – go ahead, Rob.
Hold on. Sorry. Do not turn them into the post office, ever. Send them to workers' comp.
See, in every line of our process, if you can avoid due regulations giving documents to postal management, at all costs, do so. In fact, that's a very great interruption because you can submit everything through eComp. Anything, and see, when you use that website, when managers or supervisors tell you they don't have what they're supposed to have, it's on the website. So you can never not have it. But let's get back to that CA-16. It's a very important form, but for the offices that do provide CA-16s, for some reason, they miss the training. Postal management missed the training that tells them you have to fill that form out before it becomes valid. A blank CA-16 means absolutely nothing. And if you look at the CA-16, there's a, before we get right into authorization, I want to read something to you from the form that very, very, very few post offices adhere to. And that is, the following request for information is required under 5 U.S.C. 8101, benefits and medical services expenses may not be paid or may be subjected to suspension under this program unless this report is completed and filled as requested. Information collected will be handled and stored in compliance with the Freedom of Information Act, the Privacy Act of 1974, and OBM. Note, this form is not to be reproduced or duplicated. So whenever postal management initiates through their webpage the incident or the accident, they have to produce this CA-16, which tells me, and again, if I need the CA-16 to go to the hospital, this tells me when an employee gets injured, that whole thing about you just go to the hospital, we'll do the paperwork later, see, that tells me that's not supposed to happen. What's supposed to happen, as I read this form, is some supervisor needs to stop what they're doing and input this information so that you generate the CA-16. That's how I'm reading it. And also, there is a – and see now, if they do it that way or they generate a CA-16 for every case, in the top right-hand corner, there's an OBM number. And underneath the OBM number, it is an expiration date. I know it may be minuscule to some, but if that expiration date is expired, then the physician is not obligated to fill out any information on this form. So it's important that postal management does what they are supposed to do and in-process your injury in order to generate this form. Now, I learned about the OBM expiration date. Rob, we were dealing with one of your cases, and we noticed that all those dates were 2 years old. And they thought we were crazy. Well, crazier. Because that's important. If you're going to end up, again, if you're going through Department of Labor injuries, well, it's possible that this may end up in some kind of litigation that determines whether you get a settlement or not. I want all the right documents because all the right documents and the right and the correct dated documents are available. Now, I'm not going to have inadequate documentation because postal management failed me. That doesn't seem right. But on the CA-16, the authorization part, Part A, must be completed in order for this CA-16 to have any validity. So if they give you a blank form, you can give it back to them because it's not going to help you. But once they fill out the Part A, the authorization part, now it allows the hospital or the attending physician to complete Part B, knowing that they're going to get paid. And as with every other Department of Labor form, attached to the form are the instructions. I got to tell you, if you took the time and read some of the instructions, you would be flabbergasted at what postal management has told you that makes no sense at all. Just for an example, who can authorize this form? Well, again, I'm coming to you directly from the CA-16. Authorized personnel may include an injury compensation specialist, safety specialist, or human resources specialist whose current position include duties related to FECA, the FECA program. The injured employee supervisor or other individuals in the supervisory chain at the time of injury may also sign and issue this form. So there are a range of people. You don't need a plant manager. You don't need the senior MDO. Well, if you work in Columbus, you can't breathe without checking with him. So I'm going to advise you to check with him. But as per the directions on this form, you don't need that authorization. Okay? So any management personnel, supervised personnel that understands the CA-16, the circumstances which require the instance by you or to other authorities is applicable. Excuse me for reading that because if this wasn't a live show, I'd reread that for you. But they're just saying it doesn't have to be the plant manager or any individual, injury compensation specialist, human resources, or anyone in the supervisory chain. Please be aware, the union officials, claimant representatives, or others may not serve as an authorizing official unless they meet the criteria listed above. And that criteria listed above is you need to be a union official, that's a supervisor, or you need to be a union official who works as an injury compensation specialist. So getting this form authorized, because you're going to hear from your supervisor, oh, I can't sign that. Well, I understand that, you know, you're on prison lockdown and you can't make any decisions on your own. I understand that. But I need the supervisor to understand that if you don't comply and that individual wants to take that up with the Department of Labor, I don't think they're going to want to hear from you that I can't do anything unless I'm authorized by the senior NBO. I don't think they're going to want to hear that. So when you talk about selecting of officials or physicians, a federal employee injured by accident while in the performance of their duties, you have the right to select a physician of your choice to provide necessary treatment. You don't have to go where they take you or where they send you or where they even advise you to go. That's your right to do. Very important also, this form CA-16 is valid for up to 60 days from the date of injury. So if you are not aggressive and tenacious and the post office keeps telling you we can't do this, we can't do that, and you let those 60 days expire, then again, what they'll end up paying. But what's going to probably happen is you're going to get those bills to your house, and then you're going to have to submit them back to the Department of Labor. When if you were attentive to what's happening right now, you could eliminate all that. So this CA-16M, I'm not going to read all the instructions on this form, but I want you to understand that towards the end of the instructions, it says to you, send the completed form to the OWCP address shown in box 11. Send originals and one copies of the CA-16 to the medical officer or physician. If issued for illness or disease, a copy must be sent to OWCP. So once this form is completed, again, my recommendation is you want to submit this to the physician, and then you submit the entire form on e-comp. Does that make sense, Rob?
Yes.
Because
you
again,
can get e-comp to work. It's a great system.
Well, you know, it's funny because the only problem I've heard people have with e-comp is not knowing which district they are in Ohio. And if you're a plant operations, I'm pretty sure you got to go Ohio 2. Delivery and customer service, I think they go Ohio 1. But I've not heard of issues with e-comp other than what you and I discussed, Rob.
I have issues with it because I can't use it.
you probably use it up. You use it too much, Rob.
I filled out the application online. It said, okay, you're all set to go. Start submitting your data. And then told me my password wasn't good. And there's nobody who can fix it.
Wow.
I called my caseworker at Workers' Comp, and nobody can fix it. So be very careful when you choose your password.
Yeah, I'm going to put some I'll put some information out. Or I'll seek some information to see who else is having issues with that, because I've not heard of any. But I got you, man.
Yeah, well, even our HRMs, a couple of them are having issues with it. And they're supposed to get copies from Workers' Comp. As soon as somebody submits something e-comp, they're supposed to be notified.
Uh-huh.
They're not getting any notifications, and they can't go in to look at it.
Wow. Okay, that don't seem like it's the right thing.
No. And Workers' Comp, Department of Labor, knows there's an issue. They just haven't taken the time to fix it.
Well, now let me say this to you.
For the majority of the people, it works fine. But if your name ends with F, evidently it doesn't, you know?
Hey, but listen, but I can only implore you. I gotta, you know, I can't tell you enough how you have to take a little time out of your day and read this and know for yourself, because when you know for yourself, you're going to be surprised at how many people you thought knew have no idea. But they'll tell you with the level of authority that will make you want to believe them. But again, you have to check this out for yourself. And resources, oh my God, are resources available. Again, we've got Federal Injury Centers, Chris and Jeannie, Tom, reach out to them. Wednesday night, OWCP chat, talk to them. Again, if you need to hear this information from several sources, well, that's an excellent additional source to hear it from. And not only is that a source to hear it from, that's a source that will help you. I'm giving you information. I don't have claims examiners and a staff to do that, but I'm letting you know that that's available to you. And I'm connecting myself with resources that I'm trying to share with you of people who understand what you're entitled to, and they understand that they're going to be diligent in helping you get what you deserve. You just have to put forth just a little effort, and believe me, they'll pretty much do the rest. So, you know, like, you know.
Ken?
Yes.
I'm sorry. Can I go back to what you were talking about supervisors not filing forms and whatnot?
Sure.
It's federal law that they have to. In fact, it, in one of the sections for penalties, it says, for refusal to process a claim or willfully fails, neglects, or refuses to process a claim or induces, which means forces someone else, or compels or directs an injured employee to forego filing a claim, or willfully retains any notice, report, or paper required in connection with an injury, may be subject to a fine of not more than $500 or 1 year in prison or both. The key word there is prison. We're not talking your county jail. We're talking federal prison. That means it's a felony. Don't let them get away with it.
Well, you know, and here's the thing. And when Chris is on, Chris will also talk about it's not a choice for management to do due diligence under OWCP. They're compelled. They have this part of their job. Now, we talk about fines, but I don't know of any postal organization that's been fined for not being in compliance with OWCP. I don't know of any. I don't even know what an employee would do to bring about a suit against the post office for not following, or not being in compliance.
Well, it's not the post office. It's the supervisor or manager who doesn't do what he's supposed to do.
Correct, and I stand corrected. You're exactly correct.
Yeah.
But how would you bring charges?
Best way would be go through the postal police department, postal inspection service. Okay. Call them and ask them
what
you need to do.
You know, Rob, maybe we need to research that, and we need to put step-by-step instructions out so people understand that if postal supervisors or postal management don't follow the instructions, we can give them a step-by-step template from OIG's office, Postal Inspection Office, on what postal employees should do if this should happen. So we'll make that a project and try to bring that information on one of the Tuesday night sit calls. Listen,
okay.
This is Ken Hodge and Robert Frost talking to you pertaining to employees injured at work and CA1s for COVID leave. Again, that's real, folks. Don't believe what anybody tells you who tells you counter. CA1s for COVID is real. Unfortunately, you have to be tenacious on your supervisors to make them follow through. Just real quick, if you've got the CA1 filed through eComp, you've got a positive COVID test and a letter from your doctor stating the date you go back to work, that's all you're going to need. Let's say goodnight, Rob. That's the end of our show.
Good night, everyone. Thanks for listening.
And we'll see you next Tuesday night when we talk to you.